do you do if you think your kids are watching too many judgmental TV shows like Strictly Come Dancing and Bake Off, and it's producing kids that are hypercritical of everything they see in the world? I'm laughing about it. But Tina, it's our first question of the week.
Yeah.
If you hear a little croak in my voice, I'm very sorry about that. It's very, it's much more voiceover kind of guy voice.
Well, our Regan household has been as sick as a small hospital for the last few weeks. We just seem to
Weeks of illness.
We just seem to roll into one thing after another. It's
well,
so
I call it what
exhausting.
Mikey had for sure.
Yeah.
But I'm just so hardy. I'm just able to shake it in a couple of days. I don't think Tina would agree with that. She didn't.
You barely complained at all.
Oh, have I been bad?
No. No. All good. Sure. Okay.
I'm trying. I'm honestly trying my best.
Yeah.
And I recognize this is your best. Well, let's hear this question. Let's get straight into this one, because this one really piqued my interest the second you showed it to me. Hi, Tina and Jar. Love the show so much and was reluctant to get in touch with this question because it's a hard one to put into words. I have three kids, 4, 7, and 10-year-old girls. They are obviously the light of my life, even if they drive me to distraction a lot of the time. I love them to bits. One of my favourite things to do as a family is to watch telly together as a group. I hate the trend of everyone branching off and being on their own screen. So I try to bring us all together on a Saturday night specifically to watch something we can all enjoy. Strictly Come Dancing, British Bake Off, The Masked Singer, The Voice, any show where people are doing amazing things like that are our favourites. Here's where the problem begins. Recently, I've noticed the girls being hyper-critical of nearly everything. Assessing and judging everything openly in Paul Hollywood style, could have been better. Or even worse, Simon Cowell, that's just awful. Don't quit the jade job. I mean, it must be hilarious to hear your 3-year-old do this.
Well, at least she's seeing the funny side of it.
Yeah. She says it's awful to hear them do it. I try to stop them and say that everyone is trying their best, but they just do it again. We're talking about their friend's art, ads on the telly, my husband's birthday card for me.
Oh my goodness.
The haircut the boy next door got. They obviously fancy the boy next door. That's my first thought there. I feel like showing them these shows has created this. I don't want to stop our telly nights together, but I feel like this is out of control now. Thanks again for everything, Anonymous.
Oh, wow. Oh, wowie. Well, I mean, it's a great email to have gotten in because it's a massive problem, isn't it?
It's a troll culture.
Yeah, we've actually avoided. Now, I can completely see why she's going to these programs. Her idea of it being a way to bring the family together is excellent.
Yeah.
We have avoided these types of programs because of actually the problem she's having. Mm. We've kind of seen it in different places.
I've recognized it other places, you hear what she's describing.
Like, yeah, I would hear it a lot
in friends of Mikey's discussing, you know, people's performances at the talent show or wherever, and they were like,
definitely seen it happen.
Thinks he's good, better than he is, that kind of comment.
Definitely seen people thinking it's okay to be Gordon Ramsay in public.
Oh my god,
we definitely have.
And I
felt like, and you did too, that it stemmed from people thinking they can get, you know, they watch X Factor, like she said, Bake Off, and they think they're allowed to just critique everyone.
Yeah, yeah. That when somebody performs, they're putting themselves up to be smacked down or put in their place. And certainly as a creator.
Yeah.
As creators.
And that's probably why we don't lean towards these programs so much.
We've definitely actively turned away from Dancing with the Stars and the Ice one.
I can't cope when people get judged harshly, because I feel like, well, you're not up there doing it, are you? Like, you know, you haven't put yourself out there.
Yeah, and but there's also there's lovely things to these shows. Like, there's such a lovely spirit to Strictly Come Dancing. Mm. Like, that sometimes the judging is just like, oh. I just wonder, does she really think that this is the only place they're hearing judgment? Because, you know, she's pinpointed the TV shows as the problem. And maybe it's because she's recognizing the vernacular that they're using as being similar.
Well, to, I don't know.
What's your man's name on Strictly?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know the name. I don't know. Len Goodman.
Is that it?
Do they shout seven out the window of the car at people that are doing really good stuff? That's what. Because I said years ago that I believe that comedy shows at the Edinburgh Festival should only be reviewed if they're really good. If they're not good, keep it to yourself.
Well, my problem with reviews is that, you know, everyone has a shit day at work. And I always believe with comedy especially that you've got to give a comedian at least three chances. Because you just don't know. Like, you might have just got them on a bad day.
Yeah.
But that's not what we're talking about.
That's not what we're talking about. But I know what you're saying. Like, is there a way not to have to end your Saturday night TV thing and instead start looking at the criticism that the acts are receiving and saying, well, that's not really constructive, is it? That's not helpful.
Yeah,
Telling them you're terrible, I don't know what you were thinking singing that song. It was used to be this phrase, it's like, if you have nothing positive to say, don't say anything.
Yeah, like, I mean, I like that, you know, definitely. But then are you criticizing again in a different way?
It's
so hard. Like, we used to love that show Nailed It because it was just ridiculous.
If people don't know the show Nailed It, it's the opposite of Bake Off.
It's so the opposite.
They're given an impossible task.
Yeah.
Each of the cooks knows they can't cook.
They can't bake.
You know, that might be the antidote, right?
I think so, maybe.
Because it shows the absurdity of these shows. And, you know, reveling in the failure.
She is right, though. Like, it's a problem. I think it's a massive problem. You hear it all the time. A lot of people think they're allowed to critique things now because we're in a critiquing culture.
Yeah, well, let's take away the TV shows from this. And let's say in your classroom, you had a kid who, when somebody would stand up and sing a song, would go, "That wasn't very good."
Yeah, you would.
What would you do?
You'd come down on that pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Not in front of everyone. You'd take the kid aside and explain that, you know, that wasn't helpful. And that child put themselves out there and were very brave to get up there and they don't need to know what you think.
So maybe I'm asking you because you're the one giving the answers here. Is that what this mom needs to do? Is that when somebody is criticizing somebody harshly on the TV, you need to nearly pause and go, "I don't think that was very nice."
Yeah, well, also, I think you need to, when it comes to Strictly Come Dancing and X Factor, you need to explain that these judges are actually the top of their fields. And they are in a position of getting to critique because they actually are the best of the best. And they, you know, they are the scout people or they are the talent searchers or they were the best dancer in Strictly.
They're qualified.
And that they're really qualified and they are trained and they know everything inside out. The people who are on the show have put themselves in a situation where they know they're going
to
either be praised or torn apart.
But it sounds like the crack that they've been having.
Yeah, it sounds like that's the problem.
Is in going,
yeah.
Oh man, she's so out of time with the music.
Yeah.
That thing's got a soggy bottom.
Yeah, and that's the thing that we had noticed as well, that the children were...
Well, I mean, we spotted Mikey not criticising, but... giving a rundown of your dinners once. Do you remember that?
Oh my God. We had been watching
Bake Off. We've been watching a lot of Bake Off.
We'd been watching a lot of Bake Off. And he started giving me feedback on my dinners.
Feedback on
and
the dinners. Like, you know, Mommy, these vegetables.
Yeah. I was like, you better be fucking
chips
kidding me.
Are good, but the
You're
vegetables.
Right. I forgot about that. And I was like, Michael.
But he thought he was being nice.
He thought he was being super helpful. Yeah.
Yeah. So I wonder. Like, it is it's quite a complicated question,
yeah,
isn't it?
Both of us are so low energy today. We're like, I don't know, figure it out.
Well, I guess you're trying to, it's a cultural shift, isn't it?
It is.
In your classroom, you wouldn't allow it.
Wouldn't allow it. I mean, I do think the mom needs to say, guys, would you like to hear someone say this about you? Are you able to receive this? Because I really think that is still a very powerful thing to say to a child. Fine, if you are happy saying those things, you can only fully commit to it if you are equally as happy to receive that kind of criticism yourself. And if you think you would not like it, don't do it to somebody else.
Yeah, and maybe keep an eye on your own judgments and what you're at yourself. I remember one particular incident as a young lad where a kid made a comment about another kid's house who wasn't present, and his mother, you know, nearly dropped the pot she was holding at the time.
Yeah.
Because we were all like, he had said that this lad's house was a shithole, basically. And his mother was like, what? You'd never comment on somebody's house like that. And he said to me afterwards, sure, every time we leave somebody's house, we talk about what kind of house it was. And he was like, I didn't do anything we don't do, you know, all the time. No, why she's getting mad at me. Like, he said this to me.
Yeah, unconscious behaviors we're not even aware of that our kids take as normal.
So when you leave a restaurant together as a family, do you all critique the food? Or do you try and pull out what you love the most?
Yeah, I guess you're right. Look for times. They're not going to stop this now. They're not going to say, it's going to be a very hard pattern to break.
And it's a culture. We're in this culture.
Yeah, we're in this culture. But what you can get them to start doing is to reintroduce light and positives and get them to find something they did like about it. Yeah, 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 right. We're vote wrecked.
Oh, but I think that's pretty solid and really good of this person to get in touch with the question. If you think you got a complicated question, take your time. Send the email. honeyyourrootingyourkid@gmail.com.
Also, just to say, some people are going to grow up to be judges.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, someone will be a Len Goodman or a Simon Cowell. And,
you know?
But also, most of us aren't.
I know,
and most of us will try
just
to do things.
She could just be raising a really incredible judge.
What is your kid being secretive? Is your kid keeping something from you? Do you know this, but they're somehow managing to destroy the evidence, or just you just have a sense.
Disappearing messages on
disappearing WhatsApp. Messages. That's it.
Always worrying.
You know, deleting things, setting fire to notes. Do they say things like eating when they're notes on the phone, can't talk now, and then hang up the phone? It's pretty par for the course. We're going to be talking about that over on patreon.com/Irishmanabroad in the extended cut of this episode. It's a very big topic, so that's why there's a big extra chunk over there for you to enjoy every week. Just for £5 a month. That's all it is. You support the show. We're able to keep making it, keep a roof over our head. And we get to get deep into the weeds, a bit more discussion on a topic like that where we have a bit more time and space to go through it. Because right now we've got to get through our three questions for this week. And the next one, Tina, it is a very sad one. Like, let's be honest, I don't know how this dad is doing it. This is, I guess, triggering if anybody has suffered the loss of a partner. This is going to be difficult, or anybody who suffered a loss during COVID, just to let you know. Tina and Jarlath, I am so in over my head here. I'm a single dad. My wife passed away during COVID, and I've been struggling to raise our beautiful girl. My daughter hasn't got her period. She's 14 years old and all her friends seem to have theirs. I don't know how to reassure her. I'm starting to wonder if she is a little bit late getting hers. I'd love to get Tina's advice on the best way to talk to her about it. How can I help her calm her mind about it without coming off as the man who thinks women are always overreacting? Very tough.
Oh,
because they're
so
both
hard.
Feeling the absence
of
mom.
And it's the most time she'll feel like she needs her mom.
Yeah.
Because she's like, she's probably, you know, well, we know that teenagers just think parents don't understand. And she's definitely going to think dad doesn't understand this.
The way mom would.
Yeah.
Yeah.
First of all, it's not unusual for her to not have her period yet. It's getting more unusual in today's world, because girls are...
Is that true?
Yeah, girls are starting to...
Younger and younger.
Menstruate. Younger and younger. 11-year-olds, 10-year-olds are starting to menstruate, which is so tough.
What's that about? Why is that? Just nutrition?
And developing faster. Yeah, it's very, very normal now for girls in fifth class to have started having their period.
Fucking hell. Yeah. How tough is that?
It's really tough, I think. I mean, actually, probably not the best day for me to talk about it, because I definitely have my period right
now. I have not noticed. Honestly, that is not, did not.
And I just think periods are so unfair and I hate them.
Wait, you're having a period now?
Yeah.
What?
Jarlath had to deal with my mood.
If I said it one more time, you'd punch me.
Yeah, yeah.
Tina, really, I think that feeling you're describing there of... They're not fair. They're a fucking pain in the arse.
Oh, they are. Literally
might be
a pain
the angle
in the arse
for this guy.
Yeah, but she hasn't had her period
But this
yet.
Is what I'm saying. What? Remember, you wanted yours so bad.
So bad.
And you wish that Marty had arrived in the time machine and said, young Tina, you don't want it. It's a pain in the arse.
Yeah, I know. But like, he's not going to get through to her because she thinks she's
she
not
wants to be one of the girls.
Woman.
She wants
yeah,
to be...
she's not. So I really think my advice is you need to go to the doctor with your daughter.
Okay.
And you need to maybe ask for a referral to a gynecologist.
Right.
And just set her mind at ease. Or
a female
go to
doctor?
A family.
Is it important that it's a female doctor?
I don't think so, but I definitely would prefer a female doctor myself. It's easier to relate to them. They're can be more understanding. Even just going to a family planning clinic or something like that, just somewhere where they can tell her, you know, everything's okay, or maybe get her bloods checked. I mean, 14 is old enough. I mean,
but there's no rules on this.
Well, yeah, but it is on the older side,
right?
And I think that you know, it would be amazing to be able to say to her, you're so lucky. But she doesn't feel that way.
And she won't
she
listen
feels
to that from
like
your man.
There's something wrong with me. Yeah. And we don't want her to feel that way. So bring her to the doctor, get the blood test going, check all her levels, and reassure her that, sweetheart, you're okay. You're just, it's happening a little bit later for you.
Can I ask you what the discussion was like in your house around it? Was it in those days, back then? I mean, we're talking nearly 50 years ago.
Oh my God, Charlie keeps doing this to me. Charlie keeps pointing out how old I am. Well, the other day I was in the car. He's going to out me for this. The other day I was in the car and I was looking at the placards of people in Ireland at the moment. There's local elections for the European Parliament. And I was like, oh my God, look at all these young faces. Everyone looks so young in these
posters.
You
were like, you know what? I'm so happy to just see so much young blood going for this. Young people... active in politics at last.
And then Gerald was like, Tina,
do you think maybe they're not any younger?
And I was like, oh my God, they're not young at all. I'm just older than them. I was like, they're not young. They're just not
it
as old as me.
Amazing, because her mouth was open looking out the window going, oh no.
Yeah, for ages.
And so anytime we see somebody like Nelly on the telly, I go, yeah, remember that song, Tina? Now it's a quarter of a century ago, but
yeah, Gerla loves reminding me that we met a quarter of a century ago.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it just, I don't really care about age, but the odd few times Charlotte has said quarter of a century, it has made me go, oh my God, I'm so old.
Nearly so three decades.
Old. Oh my God, shut your mouth. Look,
but you know what? All jokes aside about how times have changed, like, I'm abundantly aware of how much periods were a girl's information and their area, and lads were not even. You weren't to busy yourself with thought around that, no. They leave that to the women. That is their problem.
Yeah.
And it'll embarrass them if you bring it up at all.
Or just stay away from them because they'll kill you.
And they're volatile.
Yeah.
Lads. They're like a bull in a china shop.
That is the most annoying thing
just,
to hear.
No,
though.
Look, give yourself a wide berth. You need to be out of the blast radius.
Okay, I get it. Sorry.
Guys, you've no idea the death stare I just got. Now, was that the case in your house?
No. Let me think. I definitely couldn't wait to get my period. I thought I was going to have superpowers. I really thought this is going to be so exciting. Going to be fully
the gift of flight,
woman power.
Yeah.
I definitely used to use it as a way of embarrassing my father if he was annoying me. And with my brother, I would do the same thing. If
and
I
would
wanted
they
to
run
make,
from the room when
oh,
you said
oh yeah,
it?
If I wanted to make them feel really uncomfortable or I want them out of my face, I'd be like, do you know I'm bleeding right now? There's actual blood coming out of me
and
right
they,
now.
And what would they do, climb out
they
a window?
They would just, they couldn't cope. They could not cope with it. And I remember I used to say to my brother, why don't you go bleed out through your like, awful stuff.
Go bleed out your arse. I think I heard you say that. You may have said that to me.
But here's the thing with this little girl. The dad kind of has to take her anxiety and her worries and her sadness about not having her period yet really seriously. Because There is a part of getting your period that makes you feel like you're becoming a woman and you are in this next phase of womanhood and you don't really understand yet the fucking misery of periods. You just think, then I'm not a little girl anymore. So that, and actually we're in a time now where they are changing the narrative about periods to be like, see it as your power, which I really try every month. I think, no, look at me, I'm so powerful, I'm still doing this even though I feel like shit. But honestly, I haven't got there yet. I find it really hard to attach it to power because I just think, fuck this shit, when can I just have my menopause? Mm-hmm. Anyway, I'm getting way too angry talking about this.
I think not that many people know, certainly not a lot of men know about what you're talking about here. And we might have to include the link in here that there are benefits that come with having your period in terms of, you know, your connectivity to emotions and the world. I mean, Aisling Bea has written about this extensively.
Yeah, but I've read it all and I still think I'd rather not have
it. Sure, but that's your opinion.
Yeah.
You're allowed to have that.
Yeah, but I try. I really try. Yeah, I really, you know, I'm not, they're saying to make...
There's an awful lot of writing on this.
Yeah, make these emotions, you don't see them as weaknesses, yeah. Don't see them as irrational, see them as power.
Yeah.
And like, but still I have moments every month where my period will come and I'll be like, oh, that's why I was so crazy.
Well, the challenge
crazy.
For this guy, right, is, again, it's a culture one, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Like, the first question was about adapting a culture in your house where we don't criticize people that try things. We don't criticize people that are making a noble endeavor to do something or just get a haircut.
Yeah.
That it's not our place. He needs to try and create a culture in which she can talk to him.
Well, he has, because that is the massive positive of this email. He's aware. He knows his daughter is worried.
But he's worried that communication lines aren't open. How do I talk to her? He's like,
you know, yeah, he's like, how do I respond? How do I help her? And I feel like you just take her seriously.
Bring her to the doctor.
Do not say you're being silly, you're being irrational. Take her worries seriously. Yeah. Bring her to the doctor. Get the blood test going.
Let's get an expert on this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Same as if she was really into something else, into another activity, or if there was another like a medical issue. You would take her to a specialist if she had a mole on her face.
Yeah. I also think get ready because chances are it's coming.
Yeah. It may have come by the time we reply to this.
And I think just get ready for being as understanding as you possibly can be, because the idea that girls can be raised in a house where they don't have to hide their period or they don't have to like be like, oh,
apologize.
Yeah, that, you know, people are just like, she's on her period. It's completely normal. The most natural thing in the world. Just give her some space. Be really nice.
I'm listening.
Directing
what else?
You know, just like, just, you know, be, just give her, just stay out of her way for a whole week.
Just move out.
Just move out.
Get an Airbnb down the road. I hope this has helped.
I know. I'm sorry for laughing there.
If you're in a similar boat.
Yeah.
Where, you know, might just be you. Like, you might be an only parent for another reason.
Yeah.
Like, this is an only parent question.
Yeah. So it's really tough. And it's really the biggest time. He's going to feel like she needs her mom.
Yeah.
Like, she's going to need her mom so many times. But this
that's
is
why
one.
I think your doctor advice is brilliant, because if he finds the right doctor, she can be that.
And every girl can empathize with knowing that someone else has started their period. And what's wrong with me? Why hasn't mine come? So please just take her seriously. Listen and bring her to the doctor. Get the blood test done.
I mean, kid dynamics, Tina, is probably the thing that you've opened my eyes up to the most.
What do you mean?
Kid relationship dynamics.
Okay, like sibling dynamics.
Yeah, we've had a couple of questions in the last few weeks. You come back and listen to them about kids who are like friends with somebody who they're like, the parents are going, I'm not sure about this friendship.
We all have a friend in our life who we're like, are they a good influence on my kid? Well, your kid will act differently with whoever he's with. You know?
You said it really well over the weekend, actually. You said that it's like tectonic plates friendships among kids, that they're shifting all state of flux all the time. And there's earthquakes along the way.
Yeah.
And then things settle.
I said
and
that.
And then a new... Is that a theory of mine? Did I say that? That's I'll
really
claim
good.
It.
That's
I'll
really,
take it.
It's really good.
Apparently I said this.
I think Mikey said
that. Is that a dream?
It's very wise.
But it is true, though, that, like, your kid is going to have some bad friendships.
Yeah, well, right? Friendships are forever changing. As parents, we get so stressed about them because we're like, oh, no, my poor baby, what's going to happen? But if you take a pause and remember, your friendships changed all the time. And that's okay. It's healthy. Because
it's the horror stories you worry about, though.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we all know... stories of, like, I remember Stephanie Preisner actually telling a story of how her friends were out to get her at one point. And that's not an unusual story. Like, that there's a group dynamic shift to out and ostracize one
kid. Girls
can
be very scary in that way. Group mentality.
Imagine I said that.
No,
bitches be crazy.
I didn't say bitches be crazy, but girls... I shouldn't have said... I didn't say crazy. I said scary.
Scary. Oh, that's fine.
But the group mentality, you know, like mean girls, that kind of, you know, they egg each other on to make bad choices. And
they
you
can,
just...
yeah.
I'm all about this wolf thing with children. I'm always trying to say, do you want to be the sheep or the wolf? You have to stand firm in your own choices, your own company. Mm. Like, do you want to be a follower or someone who's on brave enough to do their own thing?
We're in a world of lack of imagination, aren't we? I mean,
what
it's just
mean?
A kid that you're saying to your kid, you need to have your own ideas.
Yeah, but I'm
nobody
also
nobody has any ideas.
What
now.
I'm more saying to children is, you got to be comfortable on your own. It's okay.
Mm.
It's okay to play on your own. It's okay to read a book on your
and
own.
And that's another question that's come up a lot, right?
Yeah.
The mom or the dad, the clingy kid who won't let them make the dinner.
Yeah, like there's
you know,
a
and
di-
you gave great advice on that question a couple of weeks back. This has been a hell of a season. I know it's a long one. We're on episode 32.
I am feeling it because I cannot keep
We've
up
only
with
got
the
two
emails.
Episodes left.
And I'm really trying. So everyone who's emailing in, I love them. We don't only have two episodes left.
Why?
Because that's Mikey's school year. Primary school year.
Oh, no, that's it. That's it. Holidays.
I don't know how you're keeping up with it. Like, Jarla does four podcasts. It's just ridiculous.
And there's something
the
big
shows.
Coming.
Yeah, there
there's
is
something
big
coming. You'll need to be a Patreon to enjoy the full benefits of the big thing that I have coming. For all of you, I'm so bloody excited about it. Not as excited as I am about this next email. Tina and Jar, myself and my partner, love your show. Hey, aww. Pat, love the show. We need some advice, though. Our kids get on so well. Nearly too well.
Okay.
We have a 6-year-old boy and a 4-year-old girl. She adores her big brother. Even when he's destroying everything she does.
Oh my god, okay. So there's a dominant...
This is hilarious. Like, I just find that opening to this email just like so amazing. It's like she can't see it or doesn't notice that he's doing it. He hurts her. He breaks her Lego. He scribbles on her drawings.
Oh god.
And she will always find it funny and gaze at him lovingly.
Oh. She adores him.
I don't want to raise a walkover.
Yeah, that's a worry.
How do we get her to stop indulging his bad behavior? See, I don't think that she put up with it from other people. But
yeah,
he's the
man.
That's
something that I would say to them before they start to panic. Just give, you know, watch her in the playground. Observe your daughter for a little while.
Yeah.
Is it just with him or is it everyone?
One of the
is
big,
she a pushover?
Big takeaways from this season of the show. You're like a lot of males about this. Sit back and watch your kids.
Yeah, observe. Observe your children. Take a minute and be an observer in
so
their
if
life.
So if your worry is she's a walkover.
Yeah.
Does she get walked over by everyone? Or is it just
her brother?
Her idol?
And still, they're
right. Okay.
It's fantastic that they've seen this because it's not okay. That brother has way too much power.
That shit ain't right.
And is it fair? Like, would he put up with it from her? Absolutely no way he would.
But so, you know what? The other parent might be like, they're getting on fine. What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
They're getting on. Why are you trying to engineer an issue here?
But there's something not quite right with the fact that the little girl doesn't get upset about her stuff being destroyed. Like, how much is he hurting her? Mm. Like, is she afraid to annoy him? Like, is it worship or is it like
here's what I think happens, right? Sure. Well, here's what I think happens. So she's drawing a picture, and he scribbles on it.
Yeah.
And then she thinks, okay, cool, now we're scribbling.
Oh, yeah, you're right, yeah.
So it's not like, my beautiful picture. It's like, oh, that's way more fun. Yeah, I want to be like you.
She just wants to be like him.
We're scribblers.
We're scribblers now. Yeah, you're right. Oh, my God. God, Jerry, you've gotten so good at this stuff.
Ah, stop.
No, but you have. That was a guess. It's annoying. But when you said it, I was like, I can totally visualize that.
I'm cool, too. I'm scribbling on everything.
Yeah.
And then...
You smash your Lego. Let's smash our Lego. Yeah,
we're playing Lego so Smashy. Fun. But she had just built something amazing.
Yeah. She's still only four, though.
Tricky.
She's still, you know, I feel that this will naturally stop. She's not going to find this funny forever. But I do think that you need to say things to her like, you know, if you are upset when that happens, that is okay. I would be upset if someone broke my Lego. So if you are feeling sad, it's okay to feel sad about that. Children don't really know the guidance on this stuff. They don't know. And she could just be a child who doesn't want to upset. So it's her emotional intelligence tells her, well, let's just join in this fun now rather than ruining it.
Throw another curveball in there. I don't think it's normal.
You don't think it's normal?
I don't think it's normal for him to do that.
Oh, I don't think it's a very nice thing he's doing.
I think you need to... She sounds fine. She really looks up to and loves her brother.
Yeah.
Happy days.
And he's actually taking advantage of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He isn't clear on boundaries.
He's not clear on boundaries, I don't think. But also, I think she is in a position of
adoration. She's the youngest. Yeah. Look, hey, I'm the youngest kid.
He's a little, he seems maybe a little bit jealous. Like children who break and scribble out stuff, that is to me a sign that they're a little bit jealous. They don't want that child getting
Mikey
the
used to do that to my drawings.
He did.
I'd be drawing
and
next to Mikey.
Was jealous.
He'd draw. Then he'd go over to mine and go, can I help with your one? And then he'd scribble it all out.
Yeah, he'd scribble it all out.
And I'd be like, thanks for that help.
And because of my background, I'd
be
like,
three.
I'd be like, that's not good. What he's doing is not good. This is a red flag. This is a red flag.
And what was the red flag?
Well, really, he was jealous. Yeah. Mikey definitely will kill us for revealing this. But he is an amazing artist now. He obviously had that ability very young, couldn't quite get it out the way he wanted to. So he would try really hard.
Yeah.
We would think his is amazing.
I actually remember. Yeah. I remember.
He would look at yours and he'd be like,
fuck this.
He would actually scroll it out.
Until the page broke.
And that was one of the few things
I didn't
Mikey.
Like that.
Yeah, I didn't like that. I didn't like it.
Like the time I told my parents I thought I was Jesus.
Your mother still creeped out by that.
I mean, this is definitely got to go into.
Yeah.
I'm definitely not editing this out.
Yeah, your mother.
I went home at a very young age when we learned about how Jesus will come again. We don't know in what form.
Yeah.
But he will come again. And I'm like, well, then surely there's a chance. It's me. At 4 years old, I went home, asked my parents, guys, am I Jesus? I mean, I got to put this in the show.
Your mother was so put out by it.
She said, we didn't like that now. We didn't like that.
Well, at least you didn't think Jesus lived in your wardrobe like I did. Like...
What?
Yeah, you know that I thought Jesus was in my wardrobe whenever I needed to see him. I'd open up my wardrobe in my room and Jesus would be in there sitting there. Kids are mad.
What age were you when you thought that?
Like 4 or 5 as well.
But you thought he was invisible?
No. I just thought he was in there the whole time.
Oh, God. Literally, oh God.
And I knew not to tell anyone. I was don't tell anyone that Jesus is in my wardrobe.
The other thing, Gina, that you were really good at when Mikey was engaged in similar behaviour to what this kid is doing to his sister.
He's a bit
was
old,
that you
though,
were very good at not giving it loads of attention.
Yeah, you shouldn't give it
attention. If he gets loads of attention, he's going to keep doing it.
Well, I mean, I don't know about this, because if my child or child in my class was doing this to another kid and the other kid was handling it so well, does that kid deserve to continue to have to put up with this just because they handle it well? Yeah. No.
Yeah.
They do not. That is not okay. That is exploiting their good nature.
Isn't it just?
Charlotte, you're
no, so... I feel so bad yeah. for her. Because,
but I like... don't, because this mom is so good. Anna, look at her. Yeah. She has noticed something. She's like, what do I do? What you should do is you need to talk to your child about what is acceptable and not acceptable behavior. That he is an older brother and he has a responsibility to his little sister, and that there are things he's doing that he needs to stop, and that you're going to be watching because you know he's 6 now, he's nearly 7, and he's getting too old to be doing these things, and I've noticed you're doing them. I'm telling you right now, it needs to stop, and there will be consequences for those behaviors.
Does this mom need to prepare herself for, whereas in the past you used to leave them be and they can play together, you might need a bit more of eyes on the game?
I think what she might need to do is, when they're building Lego, she needs to get in really quickly to say, I love what you've built. This is fantastic. She needs to take the little boy away and go, your sister has created something. We all really like it. You are not allowed to break it. And if he does break it, she needs to not say anything in the moment. Just bring him away. Get him doing something else.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Go and build Lego with the daughter.
Wow.
And have that one-on-one time with her where you create something again. And later on, say to the little boy, we talked about this. I told you not to break or destroy what your little sister is doing. You need to stop. Next time, I'll have to come in with a consequence. You know?
I mean, people are getting diagnoses for kids all the time now.
Mm-hmm. And it's not, is a worry.
It's a big item of conversation. I want to talk to you about it in the second half of the show over on patreon.com/Irishmanabroad, because I want to know, if we follow the thread with this email, at what point do you go, okay, we may need to take this guy to see somebody, to have a look and see what's going on? Or what other factors, such as diet, sleep, things like this, or overstimulation, screens and stuff, could be causing this, other than him being a bit of a dick to his sister? Come on over, patreon.com/Irishmanabroad. This is the week to do it, lads. We've got Marion McKeown, extra large episode this Friday.
Marion's
this
my
Donald
favorite.
Trump trial is going bananas. It's become so crazy, they can't even print in the papers what's being said in the trial. Marion has had her eagle eye on the whole thing, and what's more, she's there with the supporters outside to get their take on things. And of course, terrible situation in Rafah. What the hell is Joe Biden doing about it when he's the one signing the checks for these weapons that are being used? We're going to have all of that in full on patreon.com/Irishmanabroad. And come out to see the show this week. I will be in Colchester with my stand-up show, Your Man. Cambridge, that is sold out. There's some tickets left for Colchester. And Drogheda in the Tommy Leddy Theatre on the 18th of May, this Saturday.
Yeah, Drogheda.
900 seat venue in the middle of Drogheda.
Notions.
Hey, it's nearly sold out.
Not Drogheda Notions, Drogheda Notions.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun night. It's nearly sold out, but I'd love you guys to come down. And Tina, thank you so much. We'll see you over on the other side.
I love you, Jared.